if you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings and the love of the Supreme Creator. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks, or Closet Christ. So, this evening our seminar topic is, energy-wise, what are you bringing to the table? Taking responsibility for the energy you bring to others. So, you ready? Let's take a deep breath. And call that alignment of energy that presents in time-space as you and your unique composite. Call it forward. Take charge and dominion over the energies that you brood over as a God form. Consider that you are a presentation of the immortal spirit of life, commingling and having dominion over myriads of life forms that all come together to cooperate in bringing you into individual expression. Just consider that you are a mini-universe within the greater omniverse. But your physical body, your astral body, your causal body, your mental body, your etheric body, your soul body, your monadic body, is a group, a composite of many, many, many lesser lives, if you will, smaller, less evolved entities that are co-joining you as you keep expanding your divine awareness as a godling in training. Maybe that's a big picture to take on board. But, heck, why not? We've settled for living demi-mini-me lives long enough, don't you think? You know, it's all about energy. It's all about mastering your energies. It's all about that. The all means the ever-expanding life that we live and move in, and that lives and moves through us in every level of our being. Right now, right now, take a deep breath. Wow! Flood every single cell and fiber of your being with life. Give yourself goosebumps. With the vital force that fills you. Keep breathing and feeling and sensing. Become alive. That every cell, do you know that every cell of your body is a mini replica of the solar system? Has a great central sun? Has planets, orbiting bodies? You know, if you could go into the many, 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 many universes within your body, you would be shocked, gobsmacked, and amazed that within every cell of your body is a universe within a universe within a universe within a universe that's teeming with life and joy an exuberant vitality. Oh, people, wake up. Oh, my Lord. To feel alive, to experience yourself as omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful energy that's looking to you as a conscious person for direction, wise direction. You have charge and dominion over every single atom of your being and subatomic particle of your being. So now that we've got your attention and you're all awake, I get all fired up when I talk about this because it's so thrilling to be alive. It's so thrilling to be a conscious co-participant in life. So it's about taking responsibility for the energy you bring to others. You know, animals, excuse me, children, people, the entire universe recognizes you by your energy. And you know what? Everything in existence mirrors, reflects, and resounds back to you that same energy. So creation regards an energy, your state of consciousness, as a request for more of the same. It's totally neutral. It's totally non-judgmental. It totally honors you as a divine creator. And so it matches and mirrors exactly the state of consciousness you put out there. Isn't that amazing? Disconcerting, too, because until we learn to take responsibility for the energy that we bring forward in any given situation, we're kind of at the mercy of our own ignorance. Because, boy, when you start to develop some power in your light quotient, your creation is back in your face the instant you put it out there. And it is magnetized to the degree that you have developed a spiritual sense of presence. So, wowie kazowie. You know? We got to be on our game now. No more time for dawdling and sleeping and messing around. Every day is training and mastering one's energy and one's state of consciousness and being the conscious director of the emotions and the thoughts and the attention and the energy that we bring to bear on any situation, circumstance, environment, relationship. I don't know how we have time to wool gather, daydream, and dawdle around. Life is intense now. It's in your face every second, every second. Here now, here now, here now. So we're getting ready to enter a holiday season. The whole planet is in some form celebrating the winter season. And it's you know, it's one festivity after another. Now, in truth, a holiday was originally a holy day in which the sun turns northward, which is to say, spiritually speaking, it begins to orient itself spiritually. Just like in the winter cycle of our life, when we're preparing to discard this outworn form and move into a new reinventing of ourselves in the more rarefied spiritual dimensions of life, so also in the winter season, there is a celebrating of whatever form light can take. The light of fire. The twinkling lights that we use to celebrate Diwali and Christmas and, Hanukkah. And every world tradition will celebrate light in some form. but it's actually the light of the divine spark that we are celebrating. Because light should serve to remind us of the divine light that lives in us as our own conscious self, that sentient self, that Atma Jyoti, that spiritual flame that is our own true self. So we're going to be going to the table, so to speak, for many, many gatherings. And energy-wise, what are you bringing to the table? You know, often we have a lot of mixed feelings when we come to that table, because 9 times out of 10, we have unresolved karmic issues with the people sitting at that table. Many cases are related to us, and that gets complicated, because generally you're related to people that you have unfinished business with, usually unpleasant. It's safe to assume that anyone that's in your life in a close relationship, you've had history with, and history brings its own baggage. We all know that. So you may be sitting, you know, at the table with a nice social smile, you know, that mask you put on. Oh, yeah, I'm fine. Everything's great. You know, this and that. Really, it's not. But you don't dare let that show. But you know what? Everybody picks up on it anyway. You know, there's a lesson in the Course in Miracles that says that I'm not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. And last week we looked at the fact that the mind keeps projecting images which becloud our seeing anything truly as it is. You know, we see through that lens of past assumptions and associations. That person comes to us and immediately we remember the past, what we know of that person. But for all you know, that person could have had an enlightenment experience and be completely different. But you wouldn't be able to see it unless you drop that assumptive mind that assumes it knows everything about that person, when really, in truth, you know nothing at all about that person right now. So it's learning to meet people like a virgin, meeting experiences like a virgin, meeting life virginally with a childlike innocence and openness to see what's there. It's so great to watch a little kid come into the room, you know, a crowded room. Immediately they start working the crowd, don't they? Immediately they start working the crowd. What does that mean? Well, they start looking to see who's alive and who wants to play. What is this person? What is it? They don't even know. They don't know it's a man, it's a woman, it's good, it's bad. They have no sense of that. But they can pick up on the childlike spirit in that person. It's like, oh, that person looks like they're going to be fun. You want to play? And so they present that unconditioned innocence into the situation that we all love, that we all have inherent in us and have lost. You know, we've become so sophisticated and so lost in our knowing. I want to read something to you that really, really caught my attention. It's from an interview that our beloved sister Oprah Winfrey did on her Super Soul Sunday, which is a magnificent program that airs every Sunday. You can watch it on, other media other than television as well. The computer, so I'm trying to say. And I quote, excuse me, "The power of collective energy was most profoundly excuse me so much, I start clearing with, you know, people's throat chakras. And unfortunately, it causes me to cough and have to clear my throat. So please bear with me and forgive me if I make that loud sound. The power of collective energy was most powerfully explained to me by Harvard brain scientist Dr. Jill Bolte Taylor. After suffering a devastating hemorrhagic stroke, the function of her left hemisphere of Jill's brain was wiped out. The right hemisphere, which focuses only on the present moment, remained intact. With no memory or language recognition, Jill became acutely aware of the energy surrounding her. As doctors, nurses, and visitors entered her hospital room, Jill determined that there were only two types of people in the world, those who bring energy and those who drain it away. The request Jill made of every person who came in contact with her throughout her recovery resonated so deeply with me that I posted it in the makeup room where I meet with producers before every show. This is Oprah Winfrey talking. So please take responsibility for the energy you bring into this place, into this space. Please take responsibility for the energy you bring into this space. That's what Oprah Winfrey put on her makeup mirror in her dressing room. I realize that for every relationship, not only do I have to be accountable for the energy I bring, but I also have to take responsibility for the energy that I allow from others. I understand that strengthening the bond in any situation is impossible if you're not surrounded by energy that lifts you up. By energy that lifts you up. Boy, think about that. How many people lift you up with their energy? Back to the quote. We know humanity is in need of the healing power that comes from love in all its forms. Use your life to serve the world, and you will discover the myriad ways the world offers itself to serve you. Only we hold the power to transform our collective consciousness. As a spirit dwelling in the ever-evolving human experience, I know that I am no better or worse than any other being. I simply am. You simply are. We are connected. Oprah. Isn't that amazing? It would be great if you wanted to Google Dr. Jill Bolte, B-O-L-T-E, Taylor, and read her story. It just stuck with me the moment I heard it. I thought, oh my gosh. How often do we, as light workers, ministers, teachers, counselors, when we're on our off hours, allow people to take hours of our attention and time that have absolutely no intention whatsoever of doing anything to change themselves? They just want to use your ears as dumpsters where they can complain and blame. And, you know, play that game, poor little me. And we think because we're supposed to be, quote, quote, loving light workers, that we have to put up with it. And the hardest, you know, the hardest thing is when they're family. Oh, we feel so guilty if we don't pick up the phone immediately when so-and-so calls. And so, I believe as we mature in our spiritual walk, to our loving, we must add wisdom and discernment. Because sentimental, emotional, sympathetic, sloppy love is really, what would they call it? You know, when you're aiding somebody in their lower nature rather than standing with them in their higher nature. There's a word for that. I can't quite think of it at the moment. But you know what I mean. You're aiding and abetting. When you just sit there and let people run their number and run it and run it and run it. And one of those people, I listened for 5 hours. And yet the slightest attempt to say, well, you know, you could do this to shift. Or did you ever think of forgiving and, you know, that sort of thing? A person would burst into a rage and hang up, which was actually a good thing after 5 hours. But unfortunately, they call back in a few minutes and continue their tirade. So after many years of putting up with this story, and, you know, I do have incredible patience, much to my detriment at times, but I seem to have endless patience to sit and be with a person as they work through their stuff. But, you know, you expect, especially if they're a close relative, you expect them to at least take some of your advice and put it into practice, use some of your suggestions, some of the contacts that you offer to better their situation. And after a while, I found out, you know, this person is getting more attention and energy by presenting this limited poor me than this person would have if they took themselves in hand and began to take responsibility for their lives. You know, that's a big, I would say, the biggest difference between a person who is awakening spiritually is that they are starting to take responsibility for their own happiness and their own well-being. Whereas a person who is still sound asleep, although they look like they're awake, they're sound asleep, who wants to name and blame, wants to complain, has no intention or even thought that they could be any way responsible for their situation. They don't want to hear about karma. They don't want to hear about unfinished business. They don't want to hear about cause and effect. They just want you to commiserate with them. So I'm suggesting that we pay attention not only to the energy that we host and allow within our own self, but also for what we allow to enter our ears when we're on the phone, and enter our presence. Because, you know, as Alice Bailey was told one time when she was trying to minister to somebody in that forlorn condition, that some people you just have to leave to God. Really, they're going to need a few more trips around that reincarnational wheel before they're experienced enough to want to take a little responsibility for themselves. So unless you want to be drained dry and sucked dry, and I'll tell you, an egocentric person will suck you dry. They'll take every bit of light and love you have like a super vacuum and could care less. So they're getting a feed by your attention. They're draining, draining, draining. Sometimes when this person would call me that I just mentioned, it would take me days to recover. You know, days. I would literally be exhausted. So what did I do? I stopped taking phone calls from that person. Period. And then I realized that most people, when they called me, were not using me to assist themselves to move into a higher state of consciousness, they were, again, using the ears of this body as dumpsters. What do I look like? A trash can? A garbage dump? Don't answer. But just saying. So pay attention to how you feel after you are in the presence of a person and after, you know, I bet you will find out that the people you really want to be around make you feel good. And consider it. We like to be with people who make us feel better. We feel better after we're with certain people. I go to a healer. Wonderful, wonderful man. And you know what? I feel better just walking through the door of his beautiful Oriental design apartment and being in his presence, and whatever he does with his healing, it's fine. That's great. But just to be in his presence is healing for me. And I think we all have people like that in our lives. And this is where the value of satsang, where you gather with people who are eager to experience the presence of God. Whether you're in a Christian fellowship or Buddhist or Hindu or bhajan group or choral singing, where people are gathering for that one purpose, to join together to worship God, to sing, to fellowship, to share, it gives you energy. So are you that kind of person that people want to spend time with? I mean, really think about it. Does anybody really, really, really want to spend time with a person who's always down in the dumps, depressed, sad, complaining, bitching and moaning and complaining? You know the drill. Do you really want to be in the presence of such a person? Particularly when it goes on year after year after year and you don't see any change whatsoever. Of course, I can see you all going, yeah, yeah, right on, right on. I want to be with that person. No, you don't. And so often these people are incarnated in your family and you feel guilty if you don't interact with them. I'll tell you something. You don't do a negative energy, a negative consciousness, any favor by keeping company with it. In a way, you're saying that you approve of that, that it's okay for that person to be an absolute energy suck and drain on this planet. You're saying, yeah, that's the right way to be. That's the right way to be. Because for a lot of people, attention means approval. Attention means you're coming into agreement with that behavior. So, I tell you, it sounds like really tough love, but sometimes you try to make relationships with people that you don't have any karma with. I sometimes see mothers do that. They get divorced and they want a relationship with their children. But the children have karma with the father. The mother was not part of that karmic stream. But the mother will try and try and try to create a relationship there, and all she creates is misery. And we all know people like that. Well, maybe it's the father. So when people don't want a relationship with you and distance themselves from you, have the wit to realize that you don't have karma with them, so don't try to make karma with them, which you will if you allow them to import unhappiness into your life and attachment, because that will lock you into karma. Attachment. And trying to make something happen that's not going to happen. Of course, that isn't true in every case, you know, but I'm just saying. In many cases, it's true. Let sleeping tigers lie. Let them sleep. Leave them alone. You know, the things that you have karma with are in your face and in your life, and they're issues for you right now. When we say karma, we mean action, reaction. Not necessarily good, not necessarily bad. It could usually, you know, they're a mix. But when you have a situation in which you do not feel clear, which means you have an unresolved area that relationship has triggered, your responsibility is to immediately go to the bathroom, excuse yourself, go to the bathroom, and clear yourself. It's so simple. Take a deep breath and just swoosh that violet flame from the top of your head down through your feet. Whoosh, like that. Do it a few times and ask that any negativity, any karma, anything you have picked up or has been triggered in you, be cleared now through grace. You know, play the grace card. Jesus gave it to you, play it. So ask to have that clearing. And don't go out of that bathroom until you feel clear. Do that when you're at work. Do that when you're with, you know, sitting at that table, that holiday. Do that when you feel yourself getting out of balance with your mate. And realize the issue is never the partner. It is always you. You know, John Roger, our teacher, told us, my teacher and that of many of you who are listening, told us that we only have karma with ourselves. Other people come forward that have similar lessons to learn so that we can enact that scenario together. But you don't have karma with them. You have karma with yourself. You have karma with the issue. So the issue is not the issue, but the energy you have about that issue. Very important to understand that. It's the issue you have with that issue. So just watch, you know, at the holiday table. Because everybody, at some level, whether they're conscious of it or not, knows what's up with everyone at the table. For one thing, you know what? The inner child, that little basic physical elemental that's about 4 years old that lives in your tummy, your solar plexus, they're blabber mouths. Don't tell a four-year-old a secret. It's going to be out of their mouth the next second. Those basic selves, those little children, that inner child, they talk. They tell your secrets. And so that's where your gut feeling comes in when you have a feeling about something or someone. We all know how horrible it feels to be in a place where we're not wanted or to live with a person that's running constant judgmental thoughts towards you. It's a heavy energy. I was dating this guy one time years ago, and he was always writing in this notebook, And one day he left it open at the table, and I saw my name in it, so I just glanced. And it was all about, he was keeping a running commentary on all the things that he found fault with about me. But you know, I knew that because there was a heavy energy around him. I could feel judgment, judgmental thoughts. So you can actually feel negative thoughts when a person has not opened their heart to you, when they have this mental rigidity about who and what they think you are, and as the Course would call it, it's a defense against the truth of our oneness with each other and the fact that we are eternal love. So it's that ego that's always trying to edge God out. It's trying to defend against the truth of love and oneness. So the Course in Miracles has a series of lessons that aim at revealing and bringing to light these underlying psychological battles that we all, yes, every single one of us, engages in. So last week we looked at the lesson, My Thoughts Are Images That I Have Made. That we then don't hear anything or see anything truly except through the filter of our own past conditioning. And therefore we see and hear nothing as it truly is. but only our own mental images and assumptions, which we then project on others and the world. So the whole purpose of the Course in Miracles, the 365 lessons, is to allow the Holy Spirit to gradually bring a healing and transforming of the way we look at life and ourselves and each other and God and Jesus, because many of us have associated Jesus with a very limited fundamental kind of belief system that people made up and called Christianity. He was a good Jewish boy. And they mixed Jesus in there until everybody associates him with these narrow ways of thinking. And they don't like it. Therefore, they toss him out like the baby with the bathwater. So he brought forward the Course in Miracles to bring that correction. And hopefully we can see a very loving elder brother who went through the same psychological mess that we all go through, had to sort himself out in the same way we all do, had those bathroom nose on the floor, weeping, crying moments we all do, those monumental breakdowns, you know, when we're just stark raving mad in our own insanity, like we all do. And it's important to realize we all go through the same things. Every single master has started out as a very ignorant, selfish, stupid, ignorant person. Clueless. And running their numbers, their ego numbers. So cut yourself some slack and know that somewhere in that great equation of moving into full conscious godhood, you're doing just fine. You're moving on. You're moving on. Keep moving. There's no place where we can stop and say, I've reached the end. There's nothing more to reach. No. Expansion is constant. Spirit is always expanding, expanding, expanding. You know, many, many people teach that, no, there's like an ultimate, ultimate, and that's it. You know what? I don't believe that because I've gone in my soul travel to many, many gods, quote, quote, that say, this is it. I'm as far as you can go. That's it. But my teacher taught me there's always a plus and a factor in spirit. And wherever they say, I'm it, you say, let me pass. Let me pass. And if you have the spiritual resonance that's recognized at that level energetically, they must let you pass. So whoever, whatever says, I'm it, I'm the great poobah, there's nothing beyond me, there's nothing greater than me, excuse me, let me pass. And you keep going. You keep going. You keep going. There is always a plus factor in spirit. That's what the spiritual travelers teach. And only the spiritual travelers have gone beyond the realms of the psychic and material light realms into the realms of God, which are sound-based. They're resonant fields that you have to match the vibration of in order to pass through. Your energy signature is your open sesame into those levels. And so your body, as a whole, becomes a resounding musical template. I was shown when I was taken up on Ashtar's ship, his largest mothership. I was shown myself as a energy, color, light, and sound template. I was shown my a light body also that's in suspended animation aboard the ship, about 10 feet tall. And then I was shown, Ashtar pointed above that light body, which was on a suspended bed of light in sacred repose, they call it. there was this schematic rotating above this light body that had a specific geometric form, a specific harmonic chord, and specific colors. And no, I don't remember any of that specifically, but I do remember the visual and Ishtar pointing it to it and saying, that's what you really look like. So we're light and sound and sacred design, or sacred geometry. That's unique to each one of us, like a snowflake. So we change bodies appropriate to the planet or the dimension that we want to interact with. What we're wearing right now is an Earth suit. It allows us to function and show up in the third dimension. But in other dimensions, your body takes a more rarefied form. The nature, our divine nature is to create order, harmony, and beauty. So the more evolved the consciousness, the more you see the evidence of harmony and beauty everywhere. When they move through the environment, they don't despoil it. They enhance it. Every place that a highly evolved person touches to, they leave better than before. So one of the signs of being a very unconscious person is that you encroach on the beauty of the earth, upon the territory of others. You're not aware of the effects of your own body and the mess and the hullabaloo that you live in. Sai Baba chastised some people because when they put their sleeping mat down, they tossed it down so it made a loud sound. And he said, we need to move quietly. Put the mat down quietly. Don't offend Akasha. Don't offend space by unnecessary sound. You know, sonar ecology. Who knew? Who thought about these things? And he said, speak calmly and lovingly and soothingly when you speak to another, so that every word soothes and comforts and brings healing and truth and light to that person. Do not let words come out of your mouth that do not uplift that person. That's how Sai Baba was teaching us in the ashram. So an aware person does not disturb the environment that he or she is moving through. They don't touch the items of other people. They don't rearrange things. They leave things alone and they honor a person's space. And you notice that. People who are very aware. Very aware. My precious little girl, Lila Krista, she never had to be childproof. I never had to childproof anything around her. She was so aware. She wouldn't put everything in her mouth like, you know, some children, they're very unconscious. She was very conscious, very aware, even as a tiny, tiny child. And she could see the dark energy around people when, as she put it, they're not being themselves. You say, oh, this person is not being their self. They have dark energy, clouds all over them. And then my traveling companion, my co-minister, Solario, who is a healer, she would do her healing and clearing on that person, and Lila Krista would say, oh, Solario has taken away the dark clouds. Now she's herself again. So even this little 2, 3, 4-year-old child five, six, whatever she was at the time, could see. I remember when I was a child, I thought it fascinating how people's moods could change the way their face looked. For example, people are said to have a dark mood. But I would see it as a child of their face losing their light. Their face would get gray and dark and ugly. You could see the lines and, you know, ugly face. In fact, you see on TV all the time people that are always in negative, like negative newscasters or some of these politicians, have ugly faces all wrinkled up and gray. You know, they're like gray people. There's no inner light. There's no joy. There's no Shakti. There's no bliss. But I saw that as a child, like a very nice person would suddenly get in a dark mood and the light would go out of their face and eyes and their face would get gray. They were in a dark mood. And then I noticed people who had shining, bright faces and were positive and enthusiastic and full of joy. And I especially noticed when people were in love, they had a glow about them. And when a woman was pregnant, she had a special soft internal glow to her face. And a new mother, you know, how she would look when she had her child in her arms. Her face would be so beautiful and radiant. They all look like Madonnas. You know, I noticed that when I was very young. So begin to notice the faces of people, you know, when you're watching television or whatever, or as you go through your day. And watch the people that have that inner glow that comes up out of their face. And these are people that have kindled the heart, the fiery heart, the sacred heart, the people that have turned on the love light within them. Well, what can you do if you haven't done that yet? You have to train your mind. You have to train it like a dog. You have to train it to keep focused on the sound of God. Because nothing will transform you faster than the repetition and singing of the sacred names of God. We only have a few that were taught in Christianity, and they will do. There's a few, quite a few more taught in Judaism. Use them. There's a lot more taught in Buddhism. Use them. There's a lot that are taught in the Vedas and in Hinduism. Use them. You can Google the sacred names of God and come up with a bazillion different mantras. But find one, pick one, that lights up your heart, or simply use I am. Soham in Sanskrit, it's soham. You can chant it with your breath. In fact, Sai Baba said you're already chanting it. With every breath, you go, soham, I am. So you can use that. You can use the ichthus, you know, the fish symbol that has those Greek letters in it. Jesus Christ, Son of God, Lord and Savior. That's a powerful mantra. Or just Jesus, Jesus, with your breath. Christos, Christos, which should be Christ in Greek. Whatever. But don't waste your breath and don't waste your mind creating karma and wool gathering. Direct it to the name of God. Entrain it so that after a while the chant begins to chant you automatically and it goes on all the time. The background of your mind. You wake up in the middle of the night and the name of God is there. It's there all the time. That's called a japa japa. Japa means the repetition of the name of God, and ajapa japa means that automatic where you're not making the effort, it's chanting you. That will completely illumine every cell in your being because we're all made of sound. We're all an individual sound template. So the name of God then structures the water in your brain, in your cells, which are, some say, is up to 80, 90% of our body. In our brain, everything is made of water. So you're structuring that water as you repeat the name of God. You're making your whole body into a sacred geometric template of adoration, of purity, of love. In this age of the Kali Yuga, the most powerful, powerful spiritual practice is the singing and repetition of the names of God with loving devotion. That will take you all the way. You need no other practice than that to transform you entirely, according to Sai Baba. And it's simple. You know, you don't need any special place or props or time. You know, you can chant anywhere, all the time. And I do. You know, for me, it's been many, many decades, so it's automatic. But I wanted a pure heart. I wanted to experience the presence of God. And Sai Baba said that whenever you say the name of God, the form of God appears in your mind. The name and the form come together. The minute you say Jesus, Jesus takes that form of your mind. Who wouldn't want to keep company with Jesus? Who would not want to walk with the elder brother of pure love? Wow. Who has come simply to teach you to be exactly like him? I mean, not like him. Only Jesus could be Jesus. But to be Jesus as you. I mean, the Christ as you. That's why I call you Closet Christ. That's why this show is pep talks for Closet Christ. Because many of us are in the closet of our own self-limitation. Nobody put us in the closet and keeps us in the closet but our own self-denial. The denial and defense against the truth that we are love, immortal love, that we are divine embodiments. So we live in the closet of limitation. But these shows challenge you and call you forward. Get out of the closet. Get out of your self-made misery, pity pot, prison, and expand and live a great life. Live a vast, unlimited life in which one day you'll look inside yourself and you'll see endless universes and you'll dissolve in ecstasy and find yourself everywhere, in every heart. So what to do when you have these gnarly situations where you keep quiet, you're afraid to say anything, you just live in lives of quiet desperation? You've got to create a place for direct heart-to-heart communication, a safe place. For that to happen with most people, you need a neutral witness. You need someone who can just hold the light and be present as a mediator, moderator, so you and that other person can communicate in a safe space without attacking each other. That's why people go to couples counseling, or you go to family counseling or parent counseling. That's why you do that. So you have a neutral observer that can moderate the exchange, because there has to be certain guidelines. You can't attack that person. You can't blame them. You can't project on them. You have to just express how you feel, but take responsibility for your own feelings, your own interpretation, and your own process. Then the other person does the same. We have a marvelous training here in Santa Monica, which is also offered in different places around the world, called Insight Trainings. It used to be Insight Transformational Seminars. Now it's simply called Insight Trainings. We started it back in 1978. I used to be on staff for the Insight Trainings.
But we have trainings for couples. We have trainings for teenagers. We have trainings for people, you know, just we have all kinds of trainings. So if you can take an insight training in 5 days, you can accomplish what it might take 5 lifetimes otherwise. Or you really learn to open your heart and live from your heart. And live in a way where you do not have to use shutting down and shutting out to cope with your life. Where you can communicate directly without attacking, but not without making that other person wrong. Without expecting them to have to change so you can feel better. It's not going to happen. When you love someone, you've got to love them warts and all. The whole enchilada. The whole enchilada has got to be acceptable because it is not going to change. You cannot expect another person to change so that you feel more comfortable. So I would suggest to many of you, you're going to need to have a way to create for yourself and your relationship ground rules where you can each express your own process of experience in relationship to that person without attacking them. And you'll find 99.10% of the time, people actually only want to know that you value them, that they have value to you in their life. For example, a man always has to feel like you respect him. A man has to feel respected. He has to be allowed to be the head of the house and the protector and provider. That's where he feels like he's making his manly contribution. And a woman has to feel that she's being taken care of so that she doesn't have that anxiety that her husband is not being the pack leader. You know, if she feels that he can't be trusted to be the pack leader, then she worries. And really, all she's wanting to say is that, yes, sweetheart, it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. I have it handled. You know, we're going to do this. It's going to be fine. Don't worry. Women tend to be a little bit more concerned about the security of the home because they've got children, usually. You know, the roof over the head is, that's the woman's sanctuary. That's the man's castle. So in working with relationships to keep them harmonious, you have to have the understanding of that person's heart. You've got to look through their eyes and lay aside your own self-importance. When you truly bring 100% to that relationship and the other person brings 100%, you have a perfect union, which is very rare. Maybe very, very rare. So at least bring as much of that as you possibly can forward. And you will find that your mate usually will try to match that. Usually they will rise to the bar that you've set for them. People live usually to the level of the expectation you hold over them. That's why it's so important to speak encouragement to your children, to your spouse, to everyone. We all need encouragement. So it's important to be a cheerleader. Be a cheerleader in your family. Your family will adore you. Your children will bend over backwards to please you. And don't reward bad behavior. Some children will do bad behavior just to get your attention. So give attention to the good behavior. Make a big deal out of everything that could possibly be praiseworthy. And do not give energy and attention to the things that are not. It's amazing how that works. But then everything responds to that energy. Everything will rise to your level of expectation. So in a sense, you're always right. Because whatever you put out there, the universe will say, here, here's more of that. So you get to be your own source of validation for the accuracy of your own prophecies. So make them positive ones. Make them affirming. And be a source of energy that lifts and uplifts and creates beauty and harmony and order wherever you go. And keep working to refine your energies and master them and bring them into alignment with that magnificent God presence that you truly are. Make them obedient and subservient to the things of God. And you will find a ready welcome at every table. At every table. So that's what I had to share with you this evening. I hope it's been uplifting and clarifying. Because you don't fool anyone when you're walking in a maelstrom of discontent and self-generated suffering. But only you can direct your mind and master your emotions and choose to clear yourself and to keep stepping back into alignment with your higher self, your greater nature. Only you can do that. You can't be fixed from without, but only transformed from within. So if you want that, all of the universe will conspire to assist you. Whatever you want, the choice is yours. So let's take a deep breath, and we will be chanting Anaihu three times. And again, our intention is to send light and love and blessings to every single sentient being on the planet. All the kingdoms of nature, all of the elemental spirits and devas and angels, all the animals, all the elements of earth, wind, fire, water, ether, and to every single being. May all be happy. May all be blessed. May all have well-being. May all have health. May all have peaceful mind. But most of all, may all be happy, because happy people do not create problems and wars. So we say in Sanskrit, Samasta, Loka, Sukhino, Bhavantu, may all beings be happy. And now we're going to chant the Anaihu. Deep breath. Anaihu. Blessings and grace to each one of you. Adonai.